Last Sunday, we talked about how God has created us in His own image and likeness. God is Trinity. And so we are spirit, mind, and body. During these times of fast, we increase our prayer, our fasting, and our almsgiving. These three actions correspond to and direct our spirit, our mind, and our body toward the Holy Trinity. Today I want to talk to you particularly about the first aspect of our existence and this action, our spirit and prayer. Our spirit and prayer. St. John Climacus, whose memory we keep today, said in a very important work of his that when we pray, we should pray in a Trinitarian manner. We should first offer thanksgiving to God. We should second confess our sin. We first acknowledge who God is, thanking Him for that and praising Him for what He has done in our life and in salvation history for all of mankind. Having said that, of course, we look into the eternal mirror, as St. James says. We behold our own face and realize how inadequate we are in the face of God. How have we not lived up to our part of the relationship? God is good. We thank Him, we praise Him for what He has done for us. But how have we failed in that relationship? Do we act in accord with the relationship that He has called us to? I don't know about you, but I can say for myself, I have failed. Every day I fail to live the life God has called me to. Having confessed our sin, acknowledged our inadequacies, then we ask for the things we need. Typically after having praised God and thanked Him for what He's done, and acknowledged our own inadequacies, in true repentance, our petition, this third part of our prayer, will be properly formed. Unfortunately, how do we usually approach prayer? In time of need, right? We don't pray as we ought. So when trials and tribulations come, trouble at work, trouble in the family, financial crisis, sickness, even coming death, that's when we remember to pray. And how do we begin? Oh God, save me, help me, give me this, help me with that. Right? We begin with the petition. And when we do this, we've turned the whole thing on its head. And we typically will then ask for things that we really don't need. If we first praise God and thank Him for what He has done, acknowledging who He is, and then we look at ourselves and realize how we have failed, then we think about a petition that we might think we need and might be able to see it with a little bit more clarity. Some things are quite obvious. We think we need this. We think we need that. Some things maybe that we think we need, we wonder, do I really need this? Do I need this promotion? Do I need this Maserati? Do I even need this health? And so we always, like Jesus in the garden, in our trials and tribulations, as we face the problems of this world, with Jesus as our model, say, not my will, but yours. Lord, help me with this. Lord, heal me. Lord, heal her. Heal him. Lord, I think I need this raise. I think I need this or that. I need this house. I need to be, I need the new paint. I need whatever. Whatever it is, the things we ask for on a daily basis. But we should always ask in accordance with God's will. Not my will, but yours. Lord, if this is something that I really need and it will improve my relationship with you, then please, Lord, bestow it upon me. But Lord, if this is not good for me, if it will not further my relationship with you, then please, Lord, do not give this to me. We have to acknowledge that we are like children and God is our Father. How many times do little children ask of their parents for things that they do not need? Any parents among us ever experienced those kinds of things? Daddy, give me a chocolate candy bar. I need one. I'm hungry. Well, that's because it's time for dinner. Daddy, can we have ice cream for dinner? No. Now, the child doesn't understand why they couldn't have ice cream for dinner or why it's not good for them. They don't understand why you say, no, not right now. Especially during the fast. But you do. You know. And eventually as a child grows up, they become more wise. Right? They start to realize how smart their parents really are. Right? As they become older, they realize their parents seem to get smarter and smarter. Right? What's happening is the child begins to realize the wisdom that their parents have had all along. But only now in their adulthood do they start to realize the wisdom that their parents have had in raising them. And so remember this, we who are parents. Remember, we who are adults, that we are all children before God. And so when we think we need something, that raise or this healing or this job promotion or whatever the things, a house, whatever it is we think we need, to remember, like a child, we often ask for things that we don't necessarily need. Sometimes we ask for things that are actually harmful for us. And so we always want to remember, as we wish our children would say, not my will, but yours. Not my will, but yours. I have handed out to you some prayer books over the last few months and year. There are more of these. If you've lost them or given them away, I encourage you, if you find someone who's in need of help and you pull your prayer book out of your pocket or out of your purse or your glove box, give it to them. We have more here at the church. Or take these and give them to people. Have a few extras around. People have found these prayer books to be very helpful. In fact, I don't know if you know, but it's hard to keep them in stock over there at the bookshelf. The little green book, the little smaller books, the plasticized ones. You've seen all these different versions of these prayer books. There are some more coming in a couple of days as well. Please make use of them. Why is it important to pray and to pray properly? Because we are spirit, mind, and body. We need to unite our spirit to God's spirit. This is how we come into communion with God. Our spirit is in communion with God's spirit. And when our spirit is in communion with God's spirit through prayer, and that relationship is strong, then our mind and our body, in turn, are in communion with God. We have turned our whole being toward our Creator, the Holy Trinity. And only then will we have happiness and health. We heard today in the Gospel about a problem. There was a boy who had been possessed by a demon. You probably don't encounter these situations very often around you, or maybe not perceive them, but these things still happen. There's a famous exorcist here in San Jose who deals with these problems on a regular basis. How does this happen? How could such a thing happen? You who are Christian, who are baptized into Christ, who have received the Holy Eucharist, who have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, and who live a life of Jesus Christ, have no fear of these things. As St. James says in his epistle, resist the devil and he will flee from you. He has much easier prey to go after. But if you do not resist the devil, if we find ourselves falling into sin, maybe a little this, maybe a little that, something bigger next time, we are not resisting the devil, and he decides to stick around. Sometimes these things can progress, tragically, to even demonic oppression, and even, as we heard in the gospel, in this case, possession, where this demonic spirit even takes over bodily control. How? Because the spirit of that boy was not united with the Spirit of God. We must keep our spirits united to the Spirit of God, and then our mind and our bodies follow in order. To the degree that we give up in our prayer, give up in the building of the relationship and keeping it healthy to the Spirit of God, is to the degree that in our mind and in our body, we can easily fall into sin. We are not strong in our resistance of the devil. And then these things, tragically, can occasionally happen. How do we solve the problem? We come to Jesus. How do we solve the problem? We come to Jesus, the divine physician. And we ask Him for His help. Jesus says, this kind can be cast out only through prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Through prayer, you displace the relationship of that boy's spirit with this demonic spirit. And replace the relationship of that boy's spirit with the Spirit of God. And no demon can stand before the Spirit of God. And then fasting. Fasting is what helps us resist sin again. As I've explained to you before, why do we fast? To strengthen our bodies, our willpower, in little things. I will not have that ham sandwich today. I think I'll just have a salad. What does that do? You're exercising your will. And it enables you then, when you actually encounter something which is really sinful, having practiced, having strengthened your willpower, you're able to resist it. You may be tempted, but you look at it, you realize what it is, and say, that's not for me. I'll have righteousness instead. Last Sunday we talked about prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Today we have spoken about prayer. Next week, more on fasting as we come to the close of this great fast. And so today, and all of this week, let us give glory to Jesus Christ, with His eternal Father, and His all-holy and life-giving Spirit, both now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.